Hey there, good afternoon, everyone. This was an easy assignment for me. They asked me if I could fill in for Paul W. at the Grand Prix, and I said, absolutely. I have a history here. I've been covering this race for a very long time. It was on Belle Isle when I first started this, and now we're on the fourth edition of the downtown circuit here, and I just love it. I love the drivers. I love the strategy. I love the different tires they have to use, and this was just an easy thing for me to say yes to, so I'm happy to be here at the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. And, you know, there was a little kerfluffle, a little something-something at the Indy 500 last week, right, when there was the closest ever, 0.0233 of a second. That's what the difference was between Felix Rosenquist and David Moulakis. Now, the Penske driver is the one that was on the losing end of that, unfortunately, and he talked to Kevin Dietz about just how small of a difference that was.
That race is so difficult, and you know, the team gave me what I thought was one of the best cars out there, and we really had an opportunity, thankfully, from the way things played out. I don't know, things just really played in our favor. We had a good car, and then we weren't in the running, but then all these yellows come out, and now we have an opportunity to go and win it again, and we just lose it by that much. And I think a lot of those emotions came out from obviously being that close for an Indy 500 win, but just a win in IndyCar. Like, I still don't have that, and I'm just getting a lot of seconds here and there, and I just, you know, really want to get it across that finish line and be the first one there. But, you know, we're more driven than ever, me and this team. You know, we gave 150% of our effort, but now we're going into Detroit gonna give 200% of our effort, you know, and try to get what we came here for.
And that would have been a heck of a win for his first IndyCar win. Didn't happen for David Moulakis, and he'll be here riding and driving the streets of Detroit trying to get that first win. In the end, Felix Rosenquist won the Indy 500. He won a big purse, and it was the overall purse was the biggest one, 50% increase from the year before. So here we are in Detroit. It's a street circuit, and the drivers are actually practicing right now. In fact, it's the NTT IndyCar Series autograph session coming up. So if we could get some drivers, that'd be awesome. But if I'll tell you about the sights and sounds as we go along here for a couple hours on the Paul W. Focus show. Now I have a great guest joining me now, some female power here. It's Letty Azar, the Grand Prix VP of Community Fairs. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining me. Glad to have you here.
And can you hear over the roar of the tires and the drivers?
I don't hear anything.
Now, is that an occupational hazard, Letty?
It is an occupational hazard.
I actually like it. I think it's fun. It really puts us into the mood here for some racing this weekend. So, VP of Community Affairs, what does that mean?
Yes, I work with stakeholder engagement. That is everything from working with, you know, businesses and residential areas near and close to the track to teaching the community about motorsports and IndyCar in particular, right? With stick and ball sports, we all have some point of reference. We either played it, we have a friend that played it, we've been to a game. Motorsports, not so much. And so that involves, you know, I get the show car out in the community so kids can see what it's like to get inside an IndyCar. And then also, how do we program this weekend so that everyone has a chance to come down and take in this total sensory experience?
Yeah. And, you know, I learned through the years of covering this is there's a lot of STEM applications for kids in the sport of racing overall, and specifically in IndyCar, and that's great.
It is. We've spent a lot of time, we've invested a lot of time and money with this event in particular into kind of pulling back the curtain, if you will, to all of the careers behind a driver, what it takes to get that driver in the car. And we've done that through a few community partners, but mainly through Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Detroit. We have a Motorsports Correspondence Club, which I'd love to tell you more about later today. That's been fantastic. We have a coding club called Mobility Innovation. These are all paid internships through Girls and Boys Clubs of Greater Detroit, and they run on a year-round basis. And then a digital design program, right? Because branding's a big part of what we do as well. So we've developed these job skills development programs, again, paid internships, but then also, you know, all the while teaching kids about motorsports.
Yeah, very cool. So it is Friday here, which is the fifth, third free pre-day. So what does that mean? How do people get close to the action?
Yeah, big shout out to Fifth Third as they came in to continue the tradition of free pre-day. So today in particular, grandstands 1 and 9, which if you know our circuit, overlook pit lane and the finish line. It's really a great vantage point. Those grandstands are open for free, first come, first serve basis. And then every day with the new circuit back downtown, all of our fan zones are open for free. Hart Plaza is open for free. Our Meyer Family Fun Zone and all the Woodward activations are open for free. So, and that's every day. So what we wanted to do, and we have free viewing platforms throughout the circuit, what we wanted to do, again, was to create a low-risk opportunity for folks to come down, for families to come down, take it all in. It is a total sensory experience.
It really is.
So if you're bringing littles, you're not quite sure, you know, how they're going to react. So this gives people a great way to learn a little bit about it and take in some fun fan activities. I think our rooftops, those are not free, but that's our general admission area. One rooftop ticket gets you to all four rooftops. That's River East Garage, Franklin Garage, Port Atwater, and Center Garage. So we have Michigan Science Center activated on one, Michigan Cherry Festival on another, Henry Ford Museum. So it's a great way to see the entire circuit. Beautiful weekend. I think Mother Nature has declared this the official summer start in Michigan.
We've been delayed in past years because of weather. That does not seem to be the case this year.
No, she is. She's certainly a Grand Prix fan, it would appear. So I just came off of our River East rooftop. Beautiful breeze, great views, good crowd, lots of good food and things to see.
Excellent. So a lot of free opportunities all weekend long, but especially today. If people can't come today, are there tickets available still?
There are tickets available, rooftop tickets available Saturday, Sunday. We only have a couple of Sunday grandstands available and Saturday as well. And they can be purchased online. We do have digital tickets, or you can buy them physically here at the track.
What's going on with this cruise night? Explain to us about this, because this, you know, we like to cruise here in the city.
Yes, it was a fun addition that came along last year in partnership with the Detroit Auto Show. So tonight at 6 o'clock, we have 120 cars that will activate on track. It is open, also free to the public. We'll have some food trucks on track as well. And we switched it up. So we did have some folks that wanted to come back from last year's cruise night because it was pretty successful, but we wanted fans to be able to see some new cars. So it'll be a different lineup from what people saw last year.
Excellent. Isn't there a new pace car and a different trophy as well?
There is a new trophy. Of course, Chevrolet is our title sponsor. And having moved from here, the Rensen, over to the Hudson's Building, they wanted that trophy to reflect the new world headquarters. So it's a nod to the Hudson's Building and GM's move, but also honoring Detroit with Spirit of Detroit as part of that trophy. So really exciting to see that, you know, lifted, hoisted here on Sunday afternoon.
They can't jump in the fountain anymore.
No,
that was a favorite
fountain
of mine when they were at Belle Isle, but there's a lot of good things about the downtown circuit as well. Question for you. I have someone in my family who works downtown. They chose to work from home today just because of the way things are. But if you're coming down here for the race, what's a good move? Where do you park? How do you get a free shuttle?
Yeah, I think the best advice I can give is to park north of Jefferson, right? You can take the Q line down, people mover to get directly into the circuit. There are other regional projects going on the road, so consulting GPS navigation is always a good idea, too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Letty Azar. Thank you for joining us. It's supposed to be a wonderful weekend.
It is. Thanks so much for being here.
All right. So coming up next on the Focus Show, we're going to talk to the IMSA Racing Series president, and that is the WeatherTech sports cars that you hear in the background. So it's good timing. Welcome back. We are at the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. And this is Jamie Edmonds. It's not Paul W. Smith. I'm happy to be here. We're in the atrium of the Rensen. And right now you're hearing the roar of the cars, the IMSA WeatherTech sports cars zooming by. So it's a perfect time to have John Doonan, IMSA Racing Series president, joining me on a sunny afternoon. Hey, John.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled.
Did we do this on purpose that they're practicing and you're with us?
I am not so sure, but I like the connection for sure.
I like it too.
And thanks for the weather. It's absolutely stunning.
Where did you say you were from?
Grew up in the Chicago area, still have a home there. And of course, our headquarters for IMSA are in Daytona Beach, Florida. So I love the less humid weather up here for sure.
Yeah, we're not there quite yet.
Not yet.
All right, so let's talk about IMSA. Now, I've covered these races for a long time, so I know the difference. But for people who hear the Grand Prix, maybe they think it's the same car and it's every single day, but it is not. There are nuances here, and you're a completely different series.
We are. So IMSA stands for the International Motorsports Association. Been around for over 50 years. It was founded in 1969, and it is really, at its core, a laboratory for the auto industry. So we have 18 different automakers that race with us. On Sunday in the IndyCar Series race, Honda and Chevrolet will go at it. But we have 18 that race with us. So there's two classes this weekend, the GTP class, which is prototypes, best analogy. It looks like the Batmobile, but Acura, Cadillac, BMW, Aston Martin, and Porsche are in there. And then the GT cars. Cars that would look similar to what you might see out on I-94 going down Jefferson.
Well, they go as fast on 94 as they do.
Well, you know, I was looking it up this morning. The speed limit on Jefferson on any day is 35 out here in front of the Rensen. Our cars are close to 200 miles an hour. So I don't know what the ticket is for that, but, you know, 160 miles an hour over the speed limit is probably an issue.
Get me a Detroit police officer stat to get that information.
Yes.
But, okay, so the IMSA races, they go on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll run a 100-minute race tomorrow. And
that's also different, right? Because IndyCar is about the lap.
Correct.
You guys are about the time.
Always time. So we run the Rolex 24, which is 24 hours in Daytona, the 12 hours of Sebring in Florida, the 10 hours at Petit Le Mans. So this race and the race we just had in California at Long Beach are our shortest at 100 minutes. But the format is still the same. So you and I could co-drive in the race tomorrow. We would split that 100 minutes up. We would make a pit stop. You would jump out, I would jump in, and we would share the car. So
does the second person finish the race?
That's correct.
One pit stop?
Yeah. Well, you could also strategize. Most likely you would be faster than me, so you might start. I might get in the middle, and we might put you back in the end.
Oh.
So there's a lot of strategy there that the teams have to play out.
Well, again, a Detroit police officer has pulled me over before for maybe a little bit of a lead foot.
Yeah.
One of the drivers is Ricky Taylor, correct?
Yes.
In the
yes. Inside.
He's a fan favorite. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. He's fun, and he's with a duo with Albuquerque.
That's right.
And what are their chances this weekend?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, this circuit is very tight, and it's our job to balance the different platforms. Cadillac brings a V8, Acura V6, Porsche and BMW V8 turbos. And so the Cadillac, being a normally aspirated, a non-turbo power plant, gives them a big drive off the corner. So I like Ricky and Philippe's chances. I like Jordan, who's Ricky's brother, and Louis Delatraz's chances, and of course the Wieland Cadillac team as well. So I can't play favorites, but
of course you can't.
The
no.
Cadillacs being in the shadows of the Rensen, probably a good chance for them.
Yeah. And is the access to the IMSA drivers the same as the IndyCar drivers? Because I found that to be just so refreshing and lovely that kids, any fans can like go in the garage, see the car.
Correct. Yes. We have a very open access policy. You can come to the IMSA paddock with a GA ticket. Our grid walk, which will take place before the race tomorrow, is open typically at most venues to anyone with a general admission ticket. So to your point, access has been a big driver in growing our fan base and giving people just the ultimate experience when it comes to seeing the cars and the drivers up close.
And, you know, it piques my interest whenever there's a female driver or a mechanic or whatever. I've done stories on that. There's Catherine Legge in the IndyCar series. Do you have anything like that in the IMSA series?
We absolutely do. I think one of the special things about a race car is the car doesn't know who's behind the wheel.
Right.
Man or woman. And in our case, we've seen a huge trend in up-and-coming female drivers in what is the ladder system of IMSA. At the same time, the laptop doesn't know who's driving it. So from an engineering standpoint, we have a ton of female engineers race-winning and championship-winning, as well as over-the-wall pit stops. You see a lot of females doing driver changes, being part of the crew. So for us, it is absolutely a non-denominational sport when it comes to men and women being able to compete. And probably
owners, too, or not yet?
We have some female owners
like
in the
that.
Paddock. And you know, the fact of the matter is there's minutes of our race. The car and the laptops don't know who's driving.
Excellent. Well, talk about when your races are and how people can come see you guys.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to do qualifying today for the 100-minute race tomorrow. We race later in the day. We're on NBC Sports, so if you can't make it down, you'll watch us live on NBC Network. But tomorrow from that 4-6 window, we're going to run 100 minutes. And it, you know, last year, this circuit is very tight.
Yeah.
And it created one of the most exciting races of our season. We're about midway through the championship. So there's a lot at stake as people look to the latter half of the season.
Excellent. Well, John Doonan, you are IMSA Racing Series president. I could see you're all smiles over there. You love the weather. You love your series. You love your drivers, and it emanates from you.
Yeah, I grew up at the racetrack, so I'm a fan of the sport. And racing is a big family to me. So we travel to all these different venues, and each venue has its own personality.
Yeah.
And I think for the auto industry, there's no better place for us to demonstrate the power, the excitement of racing than here in downtown Detroit.
I find it so fun. And the one time I did the media drive, I think it was in a sports car, and they took me around. And I was white-knuckling the handle.
Yeah, I think, you know, we go fast in a straight line, but I think for someone like yourself that's never experienced the braking or the acceleration.
I thought we were going to hit the wall.
It's a whole new experience. Yeah, so we come within inches of the walls here at the Chevrolet Grand Prix.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Mike Parsons, thank you for having me on the Focus Show.
Ah, hit the right button. Thanks for coming on. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we couldn't think of anyone better to sit in for Paul, especially, I mean, with all the Grand Prix you've covered and how much you love it. Maybe you should start your own racing show. That's your next podcast.
That's the next podcast. Yeah. My current podcast is sort of covering what I'm going through right now, and I feel so grateful that I feel okay to come here and do this today, because this makes me feel like, okay, normal life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, we said from the beginning, we're keeping you close. You're going to be just as busy as normal. And, I mean, people feel like they know you. You've been coming into their living rooms. You've been coming into their cars and their radio speakers for years and years. So it's great to get you on whenever we can.
Well, I appreciate it. And you promoting the pod, Jamie's Journey, Angels Along the Way. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit, because I got some great thank you notes. Or not thank you notes, encouragement notes from listeners I want to get into as well.
And you introduced a new character, Samantha, recently.
Samantha's here.
Yes.
That's a little tease.
She's sassy. You got to listen to the podcast to know what we're talking
she's
about.
She's style. She's Grace. She's Samantha. much more coming up on the Focus Show. Automotive Views is brought to you by Bridgestone. No matter what the next generation of mobility will be, it will be on the wheels, and Bridgestone will be there. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Here's Mike Martinez.
Chrysler's no longer on life support. Stellantis said this week the historic brand, which in recent years has been reduced to a single product, will get some much-needed investment as part of a new company-wide business plan. That involves updating the Pacifica minivan, as well as adding three new crossovers by 2030. Two of those three new crossovers will be priced under $30,000. With the new products, Stellantis aims to grow Chrysler's volume by 60% to about 225,000 vehicles in 2030. It's all part of an aggressive plan that includes multiple new products for the North American market, including new Ram compact and midsize pickups, and an entry-level Dodge that executives liken to a better version of the Hornet. There's been some conjecture that Stellantis might abandon underperforming brands. It's refreshing to see the international automaker recognize Chrysler's value here in the U.S. and give it the money to succeed. For this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.
Hey there, everyone. It's exciting to be here back at the Grand Prix. We're trackside. We're inside the Rensen in the atrium, and we're hearing the roar of the cars. This is the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Pro Practice. And if you hear some cars, that's why. And we have someone that you hear often, that is Michael Young, announcer on the IndyCar Radio Network. So you're going to recognize this voice. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jamie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon, race fans. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. Looking forward to a fantastic week here in Detroit. It's such an interesting month of May. Obviously, we're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for three straight weeks. And then to get finished with one of the most exciting, well, I won't even say one of, it was the far and away the best Indianapolis 500, closest finish we've ever had. So coming off of that high, you don't have a lot of days to recuperate.
Right.
So we were up yesterday and drove up and spending the weekend here, but this is always a fantastic weekend for the NTT IndyCar Series.
The good news is the drive from Indy to Detroit is an easy one. I've done it many, many times for many, many reasons.
Until you get somewhere in Indiana, we decided we're going to just have in Ohio, let's have construction every 30 miles.
Every
let's just
seconds.
Shut one lane down and then just take your time. But yeah, it's an easy drive and a lot of fun to come. I'm actually a Northwest Ohio guy growing up, and I worked at a radio station in Toledo called WIOT. So We used to come to Detroit all the time, so love.
Oh, well, then welcome home.
Yes, thank you. Love Detroit. Love me some Detroit.
Just quickly, let's talk about that finish at the Indy 500. 0.0233 of a second was the difference between Felix Rosenquist, the winter, and then the Penske driver, David Malukas.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like a photo finish as if it's like horse racing.
Right. Well, so it was an interesting thing. So we had, with 9 laps to go, Kyle Collette hit the wall, and it was a pretty severe crash. So we red flagged the race and then got rolling. And on the restart, Mick Schumacher hit the wall coming out of one. So they threw a caution immediately, made sure there was no debris, and we had the one-lap shootout. Well, Marcus Armstrong, the Kiwi, was leading the race, and as soon as they threw the green flag, David Malukas swung around. Well, Marcus Armstrong's teammate, Felix Rosenquist, got along the outside. So Nick Yeoman called him in turn one. I'm in turn two. And as I'm watching Malukas go by, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that Armstrong and Rosenquist are going to make it side by side through the short chute through turn two. And they made it. And I'm continuing to watch. I'm like, I can't believe they're doing this. They got to turn three. And Armstrong, at the entrance of four, started to drop off. And that's what gave Felix Rosenquist the run. And, you know, 0.0233. Whatever.
.0233.
It's, what is it? 233 ten-thousandths of a second.
Yeah.
It was. And then third place was Scott McLaughlin and Padua Ward and Marcus Armstrong. And they were all within 4 inches of each other for third, fourth, and fifth. So it's just a fantastic race.
That is a great finish.
Yep.
Tough for Malukas, though, because he's looking for this first win. That would have been unbelievable if that was his first win.
Chicago kid, first year with Penske. He filled in for Will Power, so Will Power moved over to Andretti Global. That gave David Malukas an opportunity. And everybody says it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when he'll get that first win. And what a platform that would have been if he could have won the Indianapolis 500. And you could tell after the race, he was literally in tears as he got out of the car. You could just tell how emotional that is for any driver, that it doesn't matter if you finish second, third, fourth. The only position that matters at Indianapolis is the winner.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, let's bring it here to Detroit. You all have made the trip from Indy to here. And what do you see happening here? So who's the favorite?
Storyline going into this race, Kyle Kirkwood had a pretty good month of May. He's the defending race winner. Dixon won the year prior. But it's been really Alex Palou this entire season. And Alex had the pole for the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500. He always does well in Detroit.
He's won here.
He's won 2 years ago. He won here. He's been the storyline. How do you beat Alex Palou? And Kyle Kirkwood has been the one driver who has answered the call more often than not. So for Kyle Kirkwood to come into the street race this weekend in Detroit, he did okay. When we ran a month and a half ago when we were in Long Beach, another street race, that it'll be interesting to see how Kyle rebounds from the 500. Had a good finish, but not, I think, what they expected it to be. So Kyle Kirkwood, I think Felix Rosenquist, who was dominant in Long Beach as well, coming off a 500 win, I think he could be good as well. But it's certainly been the Alex Palou show for Chip Ganassi Racing this entire season and last season and the year prior to that. Alex is just an amazing driver.
Back in my sports reporting days, the talk always was the track and how bumpy it is. And, you know, I've talked to the Penske people. They've made improvements, whatever. But this is the road that we all drive to go to Campus Martius and go out to dinner. How is the track today?
We haven't been on track yet, and I haven't talked to any of the drivers for the track walk. But I know that Penske Entertainment made a lot of improvements to the street surfaces and took a look at those problematic bumps that we have. But to your point, it's wintertime in Detroit. There's not a lot you can do. You know, the water gets down on the pavement and it freezes, and it's just hard to keep roads pristine in the harsh winters that we have, especially this past winter. So looking forward to seeing the first on-track activity. We have Indy Next coming up at 2. Then Indy cars go out a little bit later on this afternoon and just get the drivers' idea of what it is. So listening to the IMSA cars go around, and I haven't heard anything from any of the drivers or teams that there are any issues with the track. So just looking forward to getting out there.
All right. And so we'll know more once they get out there for their practice. Yep. What time is the IndyCar practice?
IndyCar 3 o'clock? Starts at 3:05. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. What about the standings this year? We've got Alex Palou at the top, and Malukas jumped, obviously, because of his second place finish in IndyCar.
And
where are my guys that I used to cover? Joseph Newgarden, is he hurt now?
No, I think he's fine. He had an incident at the Indianapolis 500, and it's just had bad finishes. Long Beach, he was running on an alternate strategy, was never able to get up front. So Joseph's just having a year that's, I don't want to say tough, but it hasn't gone his way. Had that incident at the Indy 500 and finished his way down in the running order. But Malukas, with that second place finish, had a great jump in the standings. Kyle Kirkwood, who's been running second all year long, is right there in the third position. So everybody, I think, from what I'm looking at, just as far as the standings go, there's no real surprises, I don't think, other than the fact that Christian Lundgaard, with the win at the Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which we did 2 weeks before the 500th, in fourth position, his teammate Pato O'Ward. So those McLarens are lurking there in fourth and fifth. But guys like Scott Dixon had ups and downs this year.
Yeah.
Will Power went over to Andretti Global and certainly had his fair share of problems, not only with pit stops, but they've had brake issues all year long. And Will has just had a rough go at the 500, had a transmission issue. So it's just been, for the veterans, a little bit more difficult. And you've got all these young guns, and they're having great weekends.
Yeah.
So it's going
to
be a fun weekend.
I'm used to the veterans, but I'm happy to see the young guns coming up. It's the future of the sport.
Indeed.
So thank you so much, Michael Young. You are the announcer for IndyCar Radio Network, and we'll be listening.
You can't wait. And looking forward to everybody coming out. It's just a wonderful event.
Beautiful weather.
Yes.
There's really no excuse not to come down and see and hear everything there is for the Detroit Grand Prix. It's the Focus Show. Welcome back to the Grand Prix presented by Lear, the Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. We're here in the Rensen. It's Jamie Edmonds filling in for Paul W., and I enjoy this assignment quite a bit because this is racing. This is something I've been covering for a long time. You might hear the roar of the cars, and right now it's the IMSA Series practice going down just past the Rensen, and we just had a freighter go the other direction, quite a different speed than the cars racing down the streets here in downtown Detroit. Now, we're talking about who's going to win, who's, you know, the favorite, how many points they have in the standings, of course, but what these drivers do off the racetrack is very impressive. And to talk about that more, we have Patrick Wright joining us, the CEO of Racing for Kids. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Thank you.
I've seen you in different capacities.
Yes, you have, right.
I went with you guys a couple times to hospitals that these race car drivers go, and they talk to these sick children, try to bring some joy into their lives when they're not here on the racetrack, and I think that's commendable. And this is your idea?
This is what started back in 1989 here in the Racing Kids, born and raised in Detroit, at Children's Hospital in Michigan, and also the Children's Foundation. Basically, there were three partners in the founding of it: a pediatric cardiologist, Dr. Bill Pinsky from Children's Hospitals, who was an incredible racing fan, as we all are, and Robbie Buell from Detroit, IndyCar driver. Myself, my company represented Robbie in his IndyCar days. Anyhow, we came up with the idea of Racing for Kids, and here we are 37 years later. We've taken it around the world, the good of Detroit, I think we'd say, and that's the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, Japan, and Brazil, wherever IndyCar raced.
That's awesome, and you're nearing your fourth decade of doing this, of bringing some joy to some kids who need it. And you said there are some kids here on free pre-day.
Exactly. We partner with, and we have since the 1990s, with Firestone, and we bring kids from Children's Hospital and other healthcare organizations here to the track for a fun day. Some of them have to get out of the hospital to get here, but anyhow, we entertain them, give them pit and paddock passes, and introduce drivers. And when it's all said and done and they get better and they go home, they have bragging rights in their neighborhood because nobody there has been as close to the sport as they have been.
You know, Patrick, I have a unique perspective this year because I'm going through something that is similar. You know, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I know that it like kind of takes over your whole world. Right? And these children are in the hospital and they're going through it. So are their families. So talk to me about anecdotally a time when a driver had come in and really just brightened up the day of everyone in the family.
That's, I'd be happy to. We see a lot of those. The interesting thing about what we do, and that is take drivers to see sick kids, spend time with them, give them a explain to them that they're not necessarily here forever, giving them some hope. And a couple of instances stick in mind was, one was with Danica Patrick when she was in IndyCar, and we took her to a hospital in Chicago, and she walked into a boy's room, and it was 10 in the morning, and his breakfast is sitting there untouched. They'd been there since 8, and she said, "I don't know why you're not eating that. Those are pancakes. Those are my favorite meal." And said hello to him, signed an autograph, went in the next room. All of a sudden, his mother came running out of the room, and she said to him, got him by the arms, he said, he hadn't eaten in a week.
Oh.
And he's doing it right now. One comes to mind, too, because we go all around the country. We had a Latino driver, I think it was Carlos Munoz, who went in with some kids down in St. Petersburg who didn't speak English. He went in the room, and these kids were pretty sick. He shut the door, and all I heard is this horrendous laughing coming out of the room. And he came back. The kids were smiling. I have no idea who said what, but I know these are really happy kids, as well were the parents. One of the benefits to what we do is when their parents see kids happy for the first time in a long time, they really appreciate that, and they are happy.
The weight off the parents.
Exactly.
For at least a little bit.
Exactly. What you're going through, I know what it's serious, and your mind can be taken off it for a while and do something that's really fun. It's really beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me about how this is funded and how this all works for 37 years.
Exactly. Basically, we're funded by Elstein Funding. We've had pharmaceutical companies and a variety of over the years. But basically now we have some donors who donate to the program. We're incredibly transparent because basically they see what we do going and taking kids or drivers to see the kids. But in addition to that, at the end of the year, we assess where we are financially, and we donate to hospitals for specific needs. Now, Children's Hospital of Michigan, which we now help through the Children's Foundation, we've donated heart monitoring units to them. And so kids who've had heart surgery can go home early and be at home. The doctors here can be confident they're on top of their care. They get better faster. Everybody happy. Everybody wins.
And they get to go home to their home environment and leave the hospital. That's so important. So, like, it's not just about these visits. You're donating to the hospitals as well. You were telling me that you could use some more volunteers, maybe
right,
if there are people listening.
Well, absolutely. RacingForKids.org is our website, and we certainly are looking. We've been at this for 37 years, Jamie, and my job is to find the next generation to run it for 37 years. And
right,
we're working hard to do that. I think people, once they see what we do and become a part of it and see the effect it has on kids, it's a much easier sell.
Well, I'm sure you don't have to sell the drivers on going, because my experience with these drivers is they're down to earth. They want to do things for the community of all these places they go, and they're wonderful people.
You know, it's really interesting. One thing I've noticed in the almost four decades here, drivers, IndyCar drivers, are a special breed of athlete. They understand better than most professional athletes the relationship between their success, their ability to do what they want to do, and giving back to the community.
Right.
So we've never had a driver, especially for a first-time visit, that didn't leave the visit and say, "I got more out of that than those kids did, guaranteed. I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing." But behind them, a bunch of happy kids.
I knew you were going to say that, because from my experience, the drivers have been unbelievable. So I'm so happy that Racing for Kids continues. You're looking for those volunteers. You're looking for donations always to help these kids and bring some joy to the families as well. Patrick Wright, thank you so much.
Jamie, thanks a lot. Good to be here
nice
with you.
Nice to see you.
You bet.
All right, Mike Parsons, we've done it. We've done an hour.
Yeah, and I have to congratulate you. You kept it together. I believe Patrick Wright made Paul cry last year. So
Paul cries a lot. When I went on to talk about my podcast, Paul cried the whole time.
I know. And I
because
said,
he's a sweet man.
He is.
If you're listening, Paul.
Yeah, he is. He's got a big heart. And I remember saying, thank you for keeping it together, because someone had to. But
Yeah, absolutely. Paul's a great guy. He's been wearing the pin for me.
Yes.
Every moment he can. I appreciate the support from Paul, the support of the listeners. Thank you for listening to my podcast, Angels Along the Way. It's just people coming into my life to help me through this diagnosis. But you know what else is helping? Doing some normalcy here,
right,
covering some sports.
Right, getting back to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the invitation to do the Focus Show today. We have...
And it gives you something to look forward to after you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a whole nother hour to talk about the race, the grand premiere tonight, everything going on with the Detroit Grand Prix. So stick with us. Well, I'm feeling very comfortable in this seat. No, this is not Paul W. Smith. This is Jamie Edmonds, but I've been covering the Detroit Grand Prix for many years now, and this is the fourth edition back downtown, and you can hear the roar of the practice cars going by, and I'm feeling at home. I can smell the fuel, I can hear the cars, and let's go. And someone I've interviewed quite a bit too is Michael Montride, Detroit Grand Prix president. Hey, old friend.
Hey, good to see you, Jamie.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for making the weather absolutely perfect for race weekend.
That was the only responsibility I had all weekend. It was the weather. I think I nailed it.
I know for a fact that's not your only responsibility. You wear many hats during the lead up to this race, and now here we are on race weekend. So we got the practice. We got the IMSA guys out there. I was going to say and gals, but the guys are there. So how are things? How's the track right now?
Track's great. I mean, we had some sessions out yesterday, a little bit of track cleanup yesterday. Long story that we don't need to go into, but
that's a hat you wore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Literally. But it track's great. I mean, you can hear the cars. As you said, we got out right on time this morning at 8 a.m. and we're all day. So we have Indy Next coming up at 2 p.m. And then after that, first practice of the weekend for the NTT IndyCar Series. So we're excited.
Okay, cool. So I read an article that you were quoted in about the planning for all of this. That includes not only you guys, the Penske guys, but Detroit Police, the fire, the Downtown Detroit Partnership, and just figuring all of this out logistically, even though there's a template because we've been doing it here.
You know, it's interesting. This is our fourth year here in this general venue with the same racetrack. And no matter how much you plan and you think it's all going to go exactly like it did the year before, there's always something that comes in that's just slightly different. I mean, that's part of what makes street racing dynamic. There's always something that changes with the city or with the racetrack. This year, one of the changes was the winter, quite honestly. Like, we had a pretty harsh winter this year. And so, as you can imagine, the pavement moves more when it freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws. And that obviously impacts the racetrack and it impacts our roads. So we've done a lot of work on the racetrack, as you mentioned, Jamie, just to make it professional race car worthy. So that's one of the things we deal with. Number of other things that are more logistical in nature, but there's always some changes going on. That's what keeps it exciting. But as far as the amenities for the guests and the fans and everything else, that's the fun part.
Well, let's talk about what fans can expect and the amenities that are out there. I mean, it warms my heart to see a family here right in front of us with these two little boys, double stroller. People are coming out to see what this is all about.
That is the coolest thing about the fifth third free pre-day, right? I mean, people can come out and just really experience it. It's growing the next generation of fans, and someday those two little kids will bring their kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have all kinds of interactive displays and games in Hart Plaza. We expanded up Woodward even more this year, all the way up to Campus Martius. So Woodward, between Campus Martius and Spirit Plaza, is all programmed with the Meyer Fan Zone and a number of other displays. We have the Minions walking around out there. I don't know if you've seen
I think
Minions.
That'll kill with these two
exactly.
Driving by right here.
Exactly. The Minions are walking around. There are all kinds of fun stuff going on.
Okay, cool. And so how are ticket sales? Tomorrow and Sunday you have to have a ticket. Are there any available?
Yeah, absolutely. We have tickets available for both days, although Sunday is very, very slim. So if you want to come Sunday and experience it in the grandstands or on the rooftops, I would suggest going to DetroitGP.com as soon as you can. Saturday is also a very strong ticket. We have a couple more tickets available for Saturday than we do Sunday, which is typically the case. But we're up year over year. We've sold more tickets, more revenue, and it's what we need to keep this race going in the city, keep it relevant. And we feel like this weekend, the weekend after Memorial Day, we kind of deliver summer. We deliver the summer to the city. And, man, with this weather, we couldn't have hit it any better.
Nailed it. Totally. I also read that there are ambassadors in yellow jackets. So say you've never come down to the Grand Prix. There are people out there that will show you where to go, maybe where to park, where to walk around, and that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Our volunteer corps is just amazing. We have over 1,200 volunteers out there.
Whoa.
Some of those are the guest navigators you're talking about. We try to make it as easy for people to get around the venue as we can. We have an app. Detroit GP app is out there in your Apple store or your Android store, and that will help you navigate the venue. We have the navigators you mentioned that will help navigate the venue, and you can go in and out of the venue. We try to make it as easy as we can.
Yeah. 1.7 miles,
yep.
Nine turns, pretty exciting, and half of it you can see for free. You don't have to get a ticket tomorrow and Sunday if you don't want to.
That's correct. Yeah, we have over 50% of the racetrack is open and free just to come down and take a look. The vantage points are still really good. There aren't any seats there, but if you want to come down and just experience it, you've never been to a race before, I would suggest starting that way. Come on down and experience it, see the cars going by. And what you'll see on the track here is a really exciting race. We had record number of passes last year, 261 passes on track last year for our IndyCar race alone, and 181 of those per position. Those are both all-time records for our race here in Detroit.
Talk about the charitable aspect of it. There's the grand premiere where everyone puts on their fancy clothes, including you, and you raise some money for some good causes. In my experience, when it was a while ago, it was for the Belle Isle Conservancy. Now it's expanded the tent a bit.
Yeah, I think that's something that we don't talk enough about, quite frankly. We are a 501c3. I mean, we are a nonprofit. We're not here to make a profit. We're here to make a great event for the betterment of the city and the community. And one of those things we do is called the Grand Premiere. It's every Friday night. It's a great way to kick off the weekend. And we raise money for those five charities, as you mentioned. So as we moved back downtown, it gave us an opportunity to not only still support Belle Isle and everything that was great as we race on Belle Isle, but also four new charities in addition to the Belle Isle Conservancy. And we've raised, just at that event alone, over the 10 years we've been, or 12 years, sorry, we've been running it, just under $10 million. It's
wow.
been a great fundraiser. We've been able to distribute a ton of money to those really worthy charities.
I don't know what's public knowledge or not, but what happens when this place that we're sitting in, this Rensen, it looks different in a couple years?
That's a great question. I mean, I mentioned some of the challenges of street courses, and that's one of them, right? Development. You want the city to develop. When we were on Belle Isle, when we started running there in 2007, there weren't that many visitors. But when we left, it was the second most popular public park as far as the DNR goes,
right, state
in the
park.
Nation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to help cities develop and all those things. So we're a part of it. We have a seat at the table, and all of the stakeholders that make this event take place, whether it's the city, whether it's the state, whether it's, you know, MDOT, all of our sponsors, General Motors, Bedrock is a great sponsor of ours, of course, as well. We'll figure it out. We might have to tweak and adjust and pivot a little bit about, like, where Pit Lane is, for instance, mm-hmm. or whatever. But that's what a street circuit is. You become part of the city rather than overtaking the city.
Well, I think this has certainly been a part of the city. You've brought summer to the city of Detroit. Thank you very much, Michael Montra. I expect a great weekend, great weather, great racing, all of it.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Well, I'm happy to be here sitting in for Paul W. at the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. Much more to come in this hour. We're going to talk to the director of marketing for Chevrolet Motorsports. We're going to talk to the big guy, too, Bud Denker. I'm sure he's going to roll in on his moped at any minute. Stick with us. Welcome back to the Focus Show. We're live here at the Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. And before we get to more racing talk, it's time for WJR's Tim McGraw VIP Experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show Guitar Tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of MetroCars, and $100 to Buddy's Pizza. To enter, download the free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. If you need more information, visit WJR.com. The Tim McGraw VIP Experience. I wish I could win it. That sounds super fun. All right, let's get back to the racing. You hear the roar of it coming down the street here around the Rensen. I'm joined now by Todd Christensen, Director of Marketing at Chevrolet Motorsports. Hey, how are you?
Hey, good. Glad to be here.
This is the hometown race, so it's fun.
It is fun. I tell you, I was just thinking about this. We race all over the country with Chevrolet and Cadillac.
All over the world, right?
Well, really, that's true. Yeah, Le Mans. We're going to Le Mans in a couple of weeks. There's nothing like being in your hometown, racing with your friends and family and employees, and just bringing the city to life is so fun. I look forward to this every year.
What is the employee experience? You get to bring them all down? Do they get to come and see what they're working on all year round?
Yeah, I wish I had tickets for the entire corporation. That would be great. But we do host some employees down here today for free day, which is great. The Grand Prix team is nice enough to have a ticket offer for our employees, and so we do get a lot of people down here.
All right, so how are you going to engage with the fans? Like, we just talked about the employees, but what about the fans here in the local hometown?
Yeah, that's important. I mean, that's honestly, that's one of the big reasons why we do race. Race fans like cars, and we like to engage with them. So in Spirit Plaza, the Chevrolet display is there, full of our full lineup of cars and trucks and race simulators. Get a free T-shirt, come on down and sign up for it.
Oh, that's cool. They can get in the simulator?
Yep,
they what can. Is the track?
Here? It's a good question. I think it is here, actually. I'd have to look.
Okay.
So, yeah, hopefully.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And, you know, we have all kinds of our latest cars and trucks and crossovers to look at, which is great. And then if you go over the bridge into Hart Plaza, our friends at Cadillac have their displays as well with their V-Series lineup and their electric vehicles, which is all great. The other thing that's unique here, too, is we host both Corvette and Cadillac. We host a group of our owners. So on the roof of Bobian, we have hospitality for about 150 Corvette owners and about 100
nice.
Cadillac owners. They get to park in Bobian. They come up top. They get to view the race. We bring in race car drivers and engineers. And these are people that really love our product, and we just spend a whole weekend immersing them in our product. It's really fun.
Excellent. That's really cool. I think it was Chevrolet or Cadillac that when I did the media drive around on Belle Isle years and years ago, I think it was one of your cars, scared me half to death.
Okay.
But it was fun to see sort of it's different. I mean, they go so fast and then they have this hairpin turn.
It is. I tell you, these, first of all, it's really, we live here, and so thinking about racing on these streets that we drive on every day is really interesting. But yeah, it's a tight course, and it's fun to see the fencing and the concrete, and for you to be able to experience that is fun. That's one of the things I forgot. We just, before I came over here, about 50 of our Corvette owners got to all take a lap in their own car.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's great for them.
That's a lot of social media content right there.
For sure. Yeah, they had GoPros hanging off the roof
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm looking at the Detroit News article here, and it says Ford versus Chevy, Mustang versus Corvette. So there's a real, I don't know, there's a rivalry here.
Always. Well, so, yeah, there's a rivalry, not just with Mustang, but Corvette competes against Porsche, Ferrari, BMW, and, of course, Ford. And being in our hometown, that is the news, and let's hope we can take one away.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So are you involved in all of the series, all of the races?
We are, yeah. My team is, we're just at Indianapolis last weekend. We'll be at MIS next weekend for NASCAR. So we have NASCAR, IndyCar, sports car racing. We'll be in Le Mans a couple of weeks. Then on the Cadillac side, we race in sports car here in North America, overseas in Europe, and then now Formula One, too. So
yeah.
We're everywhere.
The big news in NASCAR is the Kyle Busch news, which is unbelievably sad.
So sad.
He's 41 years old.
Yeah, so we were devastated. That was really, you know, Indianapolis 500 is a really big, iconic race that we get emotional about.
Yeah.
And to have that come through just really, it was just so hard, right?
Right.
We all know him. We know our drivers well. We know his family pretty well. And he's been to Detroit a number of times to visit us, took him through the design center. He bought a Corvette, and we took him through design to help him design it. And so you get to know him. And
of course.
You know, it's sad, but when you know him personally, it's just, I'm devastated for their family.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Some happier news is this weekend, this weather, and all of the opportunities for maybe some new fans that don't know that much about racing can get sort of a firsthand look at what it's all about, especially in the garages. You can, like, go in the garage, and the mechanics and everybody there are so welcoming.
Yeah, boy, you hit on one of my favorite things. So two things about fans. If you are even thinking about it, just come down. You don't even have to buy a ticket. And, you know, I know Michael was here before all along
Michael's
Jefferson.
Michael's like, please buy a ticket.
Yeah, well, he wants you to buy a ticket. But there's so much free. I don't know too many races where you can get a free experience to watch along Jefferson. That's cool. But if you buy a ticket, you can go into the garage area. We call it the paddock. That's like going into the locker room of your favorite sports team. You get the drivers, the teams, the cars all prepping for the weekend.
Yeah.
You can see it firsthand. That's the coolest part, I think.
They're more clothed than, say, the Lions locker room.
Yeah, I bet
just
that's
speaking
true.
From experience.
Yeah, I was going to say,
yeah.
I don't want to know.
Todd, did I miss anything? You're here on our air. What do you want people to know?
Just, hey, Chevrolet is so happy to be a part of this race. This is our 14th year with the Grand Prix being on Belle Isle, now downtown, and just being able to be a part of such a great organization, show off the cars that we race, both Corvettes and Cadillacs and Indy cars. And just being a part of such a fun thing for the city to help bring to life. We're just so honored to be here. So
excellent.
Thanks for having us.
The weather has cooperated for you. Todd Christensen, Director of Marketing at Chevrolet Motorsports. Thanks for joining us on the Focus Show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
All right, see you.
All right. So having a lot of fun here with all of our guests. Coming up, we're going to talk to the Downtown Detroit Partnership, the chairman of the whole thing, Bud Denker. He's going to show up. But it's also like a weekend to grill. I mean, the weather couldn't be better.
Yeah, you know what? This actually feels like the official start of summer.
Well, the weather didn't cooperate for us on Memorial Weekend.
Yeah.
So this is
It's like a do-over, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you come down, you see some racing. The schedule is posted so you can see, like, when they're going to do all their races. And then you could go home and maybe, would you grill a dog? Mike
yeah.
Parsons?
Yeah, you know
producer
what?
Producer extraordinaire.
My wife loves burnt hot dogs, and it's very liberating because I've got a much bigger margin for error now.
There's an article in the Huffington Post about how bad hot dogs are for you.
I know.
It's very upsetting.
It's kind of like when people tell you how fattening Olive Garden breadsticks are. It's like, I don't care.
It's like we mentally know these things.
Yeah.
But I just pulled this article up because we might be grilling this weekend. And, you know, the article's all about how processed meats are a health risk. But they have these nutritionists that say, you got to look at the label. And Link here tells me, our sales guy extraordinaire, like, that he does look at the label. Do you know what you're supposed to look for?
No, but if there's a healthy option for hot dogs, I'm ready to listen.
You're supposed to look for uncured meats. Did you know that?
No, but I have a feeling the cured meats are the most delicious.
They are. And they said look for the sodium content. It's got to be low.
Yeah. So maybe turkey dog. Turkey dogs might be a nice
and nitrate-free. They said look for those
yeah.
things. And guess what they say don't pick up? The ballpark Franks, which are the best.
I was going to say, if money's no, I pick up whatever's on special, but if it's all the same, ballpark my go-to. They plump when you cook them, you know.
At the very end, they say if you love a hot dog that much, have it. Just don't have them too much.
Yeah, only have two instead of four.
That's right. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about all the things that are offered in downtown as this race weekend continues on the Focus Show. Hey there, we are trackside of this 1.7-mile circuit that winds through the streets of downtown Detroit, and this is one of the biggest weekends of the year for the city because more than 100,000 fans are supposed to descend on the city and watch these race car drivers go around these streets that we normally traverse to go to dinner and go to these hotels on our own, so it's pretty cool to see. We're going to bring in Eric Larson, CEO of the Downtown Detroit Partnership, to talk about the impact here for our city. How are you, Eric?
I'm great, Jimmy. I could not be more thrilled to be sitting here with you.
Well, that's a nice intro.
And I mean that. It's just wonderful to be here with you.
Awesome. Well, it's nice to talk to you. And we're talking about something very positive for the city of Detroit. There are, you know, estimates about how much money this raises over the weekend for the businesses around here. Do you have a figure?
Yeah, Jamie, it's really interesting. And you threw out the number of 100,000, you know, not just fans coming and descending on this racetrack. But last year alone, this weekend saw over 300,000 people come into the core of our city, you know, for this event over that 3-day period. And it generated over $100 million of economic impact.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And the thing that we've talked a little bit about in other shows is, you know, it's great to have the draft. It's great to have the Final Four. But those sort of, they come, they do their thing, and then they leave. Grand Prix comes back every year. And so since Roger brought it back to the streets in 2007, you know, that's 20 years of $100 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a multiplier effect that really impacts a lot of people.
What is the impact of it being downtown for its fourth iteration this time around from leaving Belle Isle before?
Well, I think the best part of bringing it back downtown is, one, you know, as we've all talked about, 50% of the actual race is free and open and can be viewed without even a ticket. But the other thing that's really unique about bringing it downtown is the ability to engage with the heartbeat of the city, and that's the small businesses. And
mm-hmm.
so you have so much more benefit in terms of those small businesses, not just the bars and restaurants, obviously the hotels, but in general, people are being able to to really participate in the benefit of this, you know, not just for the 3 days of the weekend, but then set a precedence for people to come back. The other thing is, you know, the race leans in very hard to create opportunities for people throughout the city. So you think about the small business straightaway that is, you know, just up Woodward on the Esplanade. That's another way that people are, you know, that wouldn't normally, small businesses that wouldn't normally have this kind of exposure, this kind of opportunity.
This kind of traffic.
Are being able to,
people-wise.
Yeah. Are being able to be, you know, discovered. And so lots of different ways that it impacts both the, you know, the economy as well as just the overall business environment.
Now, I know that the drivers stay in their RVs. It's not an RV. It's like a beautiful bus. I've done like tours of their buses. It's very comfortable for them.
Nicer than my home.
Yeah. But the people who come to see this race, maybe from out of town, they're staying in the hotels here. What are the occupancy rates during this weekend?
So hotels are sold out.
100% then.
100%. So, and it's not just the hotels, obviously, in the downtown. And you've talked to Claude and, you know, the constant drumbeat that we need more hotels. And that is a reality.
They're coming.
They are coming. They are really coming fast. But the other piece is it spills out into the rest of the region. So hotels, because they do fill in the core of the city, then start filling outside of the core of the city.
Yeah.
And so it's really good in terms of the overall regional impact. And then conversations like this. I mean, you know, the voice of the Great Lakes. This is a way to change people's perception about, you know, Detroit. Today, you know, Fifth Third Free Day. You know, people need to know that there's a reason to come down, not just because of the race, but because there's a lot of things that Detroit offers.
Yeah, and, you know, there's conversation in sports circles about just how much money it costs to bring, like, your whole family to a sporting event these days, mm-hmm. with, like, whatever it costs to get all the food and everything and the tickets. It's free today. You could not get a ticket tomorrow or Sunday if you wanted to, and that's $0 that you have to spend.
That's right. And you see the same absolute experience that if you had bought a ticket. And again, even if you do come back, if you love it so much on Free Day, on Fifth Third Free Day today, and you come back on Saturday or Sunday, you can still watch most of the race, you know, 50% of the race for free, even if you don't want to buy a ticket. I would encourage you, you know, to buy a ticket. I would encourage you to, you know, obviously go to...
I mean, the ticket gets you closer to the action. You get to see, like, Pitt Road. You get to see all that. So, yeah, you get something with the ticket for sure.
Yeah, and I think about what the Grand Prix team has done, just thinking about the different venues. I think about the Turn 3 Club. You know, that is probably the best seat in the house other than, you know, right where we are overlooking the track.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a different vantage point, and the neat thing about the way the course is laid out is you literally can walk sort of all over and see pieces of the track, see pieces of the action. And then you've got the benefit of having on Saturday IMSTA, so you got the sports car race and all the local brands, Ford and Chevy and everybody competing against each other. Few foreign brands in there too.
Right, we don't talk about that.
No,
we don't. Not in Detroit.
And then obviously coming back on Sunday for the actual big event is just so much fun.
The Downtown Detroit Partnership, how are you partnering with this race? Are you involved in the grand premiere tonight? How does it all work?
So we're involved in everything. So we are the parent organization of the Grand Prix.
Okay.
This actually came about in 2006 when Roger Penske was our board chair, the Downtown Detroit Partnership board chair, and decided to revive, you know, racing and bring the Grand Prix
right
back.
After a successful
right
Super Bowl,
exactly.
In which the Pittsburgh Steelers won, but I digress.
I thought you might, you know, want to make sure we remember that. But, you know, and that was Roger's leadership for the Super Bowl and then leaned right into, obviously, the Grand Prix. And so for the partnership, it is very important. It's a big weekend, obviously, for us. We have hundreds of clean ambassadors, clean and safety ambassadors out. They're out, obviously, all year round, but, you know, you see them. They're not just there to clean and make sure things are safe and inviting, but they're also there to help people navigate and, you know, provide us a level of hospitality. We also have a lot of work with our urban innovation team on the small business and the interaction. So there's a number of things that we work with, both from a safety and then just from a pure execution with the Grand Prix team. You know, Bud Denker and Michael Montry are terrific partners.
You're only saying that because Bud just walked by.
Well, he can't hear me right now. If he could hear me, I'd say something else, but probably not suitable for air.
Yeah. Well, thank you for censoring yourself. Yeah. I appreciate on that. All right, so you're looking forward to a beautiful weekend, a beautiful race weekend, and all the pieces are coming together here for one of the best.
We are, and this is a great way to kick it off. I mean, having conversations like this make sure that people recognize that there's something for everybody. I mean, literally, an 8 to an 80-year-old can find something to do here, and so let's, you know, make sure you don't, you know, sort of wish you had done it at, when Monday comes around.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're thinking
don't
about
miss
it,
it.
If you're thinking about it, make the trip.
And Eric, thanks for the kind words that you had to say for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
Lots
All right. Stick with us on the Focus Show. We're in the home stretch. Bud Denker's next. Welcome back to the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. This is Jamie Edmonds, not Paul W. Smith, but I've really enjoyed this assignment. This is where I feel at home at the Detroit Grand Prix. And you know who else feels at home here? Scott McLaughlin, talking about how he likes the track.
I mean, I love this track. I've always loved street circuits, so I feel like a strength of mine is street circuits, so I do love I love coming here. Yeah, and our cars traditionally have been really good, and I think that's a part and parcel of the reason why I like street circuits. So we'll see how we go.
Does that make you feel good, Bud Danker, that the drivers like coming here? They like driving on this street circuit? Of course, chairman of the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear.
Well, I do like to hear that, especially from Scott McLaughlin, one of the Team Penske drivers. So he's got to, now he's got to back it up.
But wait,
on the
does he have to say that because he's a Penske driver?
It's probably a good thing to do that. he's in the shadows of Chevrolet's headquarters right here, General Motors headquarters, and in Roger Penske's city. So it's probably be smart of him to say that.
How is the track from your point of view? The IndyCar guys are going to come out about 3 o'clock to see for themselves.
Yeah, you know, I've got some. The word I got from the drivers yesterday, the drivers all do a walk around for an hour yesterday. They did it, and they said it's the best look this track has ever looked. And if you look at it now, we've done a lot of painting around the track, much like you saw at some of our races in Arlington, Texas, where we spruced it up and put a lot of red, white, and blue around the track to celebrate our country's anniversary. You're going to see it here. But also, if you look, I just look over my shoulder here, I see the riverfront that we're so lucky to have around us. We're racing along the riverfront of Detroit River. Mm-hmm. And to have that here and have Canada across the river, remember, we're only one of five cities in the U.S. that have an urban race. A lot more people want to say that, but they can't. We're one of five. Let's not take that for granted.
Yeah, it's a beauty, and it's the weather is totally cooperating for this race weekend, and they zoom past here, past the Rensen, and past all the restaurants where people will be packed this weekend. I mean, it's idyllic.
It is idyllic, and, you know, Belle Isle was great, but Belle Isle was pretty exclusive. You had to get on a bus. You had to go across the bridge. You had to get on a bus to go back. Here, people come down. They park for the day. They go to the restaurants, the bars, the hotels, the casinos. That's why the economic benefit went from $50 million on Belle Isle to over $100 million by on the streets of Detroit. $100 million will be spent this weekend through the region. And by the way, we're doing this every year, not once every 30 or 40 or whatever it may be for a Final Four. We're here every single year. Don't take that for granted either.
Right. And you were giddy almost when you sat down because the grand premiere is tonight. And a lot of money is raised for some really great charities. The tent has widened from the Belle Isle Conservancy to a couple others, and you're going to raise a lot of money tonight, hopefully, if things go as you were talking about.
Yeah, we will. We thank you, Jamie. We've got a great sold-out premiere tonight. It sells out in a matter of days every time we announce it at the Hudson's building with General Motors headquarters, and we'll have 450 people gathered. We have raised over $9 million for five local charities, and we're going to raise over $1 million again tonight. I am so proud to have breakfast with the five charities about 4 months ago and gave them each a check of six figures. You know, the Pope Francis, right, the Detroit Safety Foundation, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeast Michigan, Belle Isle Conservancy, Detroit Conservancy, they're all going to benefit from tonight's benefit. And that's the byproduct of having our race. It's great. It's cool to have all this action in the Motor City. But think about what we're giving back to charity, giving back to kids, giving back to STEM education. That all happens because of having the race here. We shouldn't lose sight of that either.
Right, and I had Racing for Kids. They go into the hospitals, the drivers do, when they're here, and then that's a benefit for the sick kids and the families that are there, too. I mean, there's a lot of good here.
There is a lot of good here. And, you know, like I say, many byproducts come. How about the fact we've got 10 businesses outside the city of Detroit that we've selected to come downtown and show their wares on campus marshes? These are little businesses that are around Detroit somewhere outside the city. They're now coming down to display their wares, get customers to come to their stores. Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeast Michigan has designed the murals along our racetrack and their artistry classes as well.
Did the poster happen?
Yeah, right out the posters we got from the College of Creative Studies. So all of these linkages to children, but also college students, are tied into the businesses that we do here with also, and then back to the charities that we're going to help out tonight.
The fourth edition back here downtown, do you guys have it all figured out? Is the template there? You don't have to do anything and ride around on your moped?
Oh, I wish it was that way. We were up till about 11 o'clock working in Hart Plaza last night, getting it prepared, ready to go. It's never that easy. We're always waiting until the last minute, it seems like, to get things done. But the racetrack takes time to put up. We put up bridges. We put up walls. We put up signs. We have to divert traffic, right? We're concerned about the safety of our fans and our crews and our drivers. So those things all take time. And there's, of course, some disruption of traffic. I heard the traffic report and these road closures. But you know what? If it wasn't for the race again, we wouldn't have these benefits. And for that, I think we're all patient about it.
And, you know, you're the chairman of the Grand Prix, but you're out there. I mean, I remember a couple years ago there was like a crash or something. You're fixing the boards and you're doing it all yourself.
Well,
so
I
not
think,
all yourself. But
yeah,
you were there.
I'm pretty hands-on.
Yeah.
And, yesterday we had a hydraulic leak, a forklift dumped about 80 gallons of hydraulic fluids and such on our track. And guess who was out there with my team? I was, because you know what?
With your shop vac, you were just...
Yeah, why watch them when you can chip in and do it and help them out? So it's an ethos of Penske. It's an ethos of Roger. If you go back to the Super Bowl, remember him shoveling the snow? I remember that. And I think people look at that and lead and learn. And I think that it helps my team also understand the hard work that goes into it. Mm-hmm. If I'm willing to do it, then they're willing to do it as well.
And there have been many successes. The Indy 500 was a success. This whole series has been a success. I just want to briefly ask you, we're talking about this race, of course, this weekend, but what's happening in Washington to celebrate the 250?
Yeah, I had an idea last July, and that was to bring a race to downtown Washington, D.C. to celebrate our country's anniversary. It was a dream. Could it ever happen? Probably not. It's going to happen August 22nd, 23rd, 85 days away, but who's counting? The most complex race I've ever done, the most complex race that probably will ever be done. We're racing along Pennsylvania Avenue, Independence Avenue, Constitution Avenue. Imagine racing at 190 miles an hour down Pennsylvania Avenue. We're going to do that.
And I'm reading the first race since 1801 when Thomas Jefferson celebrated the 25th anniversary with a horse race. So there's horsepower involved here, but it's a little different.
There's a lot of horsepower involved now, and I'm going to do a little stunt. I'm going to tell you this. You're the first one to know. I'm going to put four drivers in their fire suits on a horse and race down the National Mall and see who wins to celebrate our country's 250th anniversary. Wouldn't that be fun?
You have to have big ideas when you're in your job, and you certainly do, and thinks that the IndyCar 500 was unbelievable.
Oh, David Malukas.
Oh, he was right there.
Is he now America's sweetheart? That interview he did afterwards, when he was crying, the emotion, the passion, the raw energy of who this young man is. He just turned 24 years old. He's in his first year at Team Penske. He's second in championship points, and he's become America's sweetheart.
Yeah, he's looking for that win. Maybe it's going to be here on home track, right?
Let's hope so. It'd be great to bring Chevrolet a win here. We haven't brought Chevrolet a win here in 3 years, so it's time for them to get a win.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. Bud Danker, thank you for joining us here on the Focus Show. I appreciate seeing you every year. You're bringing the heat with that $100 million in economic development.
We're bringing the heat. Brett, we got the heat also based upon your weather forecast. It's going to be beautiful. Go to DetroitGP.com, DetroitGP.com. Still got tickets available for Saturday and Sunday. And come on down and enjoy this great weekend.
All right, Bud Danker, thank you so much. Nice to see you. Mike Parsons, thanks for having me.
Yeah, wow, it's over already, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this has been fun. It's easy to just talk about something that you enjoy and you like and you have history with, so I really appreciate it.
Right, I can tell you're definitely in your element. I mean, I've watched you cover the Grand Prix for years, and it's just like being in my living room.
The funniest part was you're like, follow me downtown, and we'll get there. And I'm like calling you on the phone, like, don't go that way.
I know.
Come over here. You didn't know where you were going.
I know. If we weren't on 375, I would have just waved you. You know what? Next time, I follow you.
I was about to leave you in my dust.
Yeah.
Like a race car driver.
Yeah, I was looking at my rear view. I'm like, is she merging? I had to reverse follow you here.
Yeah. Well, good thing I got us here.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it, Paul W. Thanks for this opportunity. Thanks for all the support and everyone who sent me a card, a letter, a message. I really appreciate it. I'm accepting it. I feel it. I'm going to get through this.
And the picture I posted of you on social, people are so geeked to have you back.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Paul W., I'll see you at the studio.